Take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Turn quickly, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 49. I know we've taken a few extra minutes with announcements. I will do my best to expedite the preaching, but we don't want to shortchange God this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 49. Stand with me if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 49. Look back at me if you would for a second. I'm going to tell you the title of my sermon this morning. It's called, David Had to First Conquer David. First Samuel 17, verse 49, it says, "And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." And let's pray. Father, my time is short, but that sure does not limit your power. So Lord, help me. I do not want the people to miss the truth of the day. I pray, God, that you will reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in someone's heart. Somebody here needs to slay a giant someday, but they'll not do it because they can't defeat some little issue in their own life. Help us, Lord, to learn from the sermon today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is one of the best known stories in the Bible. I'm going to retell it very quickly. We call it the story of David conquering Goliath. Actually, David's victory over David produced a victory over Goliath. I want to point out some of the personal challenges that David had to go through, so he could be the man who slew the Goliath. Here's the story. The Philistines were a giant people, and they were the enemy of God and God's people. The Philistines stood on mountainside, and they mocked God, and they were mocking God's army. They had a champion named Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall. He was a powerhouse. He had been proven in battle. He was a battle machine. He was the meanest of the mean. He was the toughest of the tough. David had 3 brothers, and they were in God's army at that time, and they were at the battle scene. David, though, was at home attending to the farm with his dad. David's dad sends David to deliver lunch to his brothers down at the battle scene. David gets up very early in the morning to start his food delivery service. David arrives at the battle site, and here's Goliath, this big goon of a man, 9 feet tall, heckling. And there was nobody at all that was doing anything about Goliath spouting off and being rude to God's people. David makes a statement he went down in history for making. He said, "Is there not a cause?" Basically, he said, somebody needs to do something about this situation. David's oldest brother called him down. David's oldest brother humiliated him and embarrassed him. Told him he's just a kid going home, attend to dad's sheep. But that didn't stop David. King Saul, the king at that time, tells David that Goliath is a war machine and David's just a kid. He didn't have the good sense to fear the big mongrel of a killer. David again hears this great big man named Goliath, and Goliath calls David. He said, "I'm going to turn you into bird food, boy." David picks up a few stones, pulls out his sling, and he puts Goliath down. David takes Goliath's sword and whacks off his head. David goes down in history as the giant killer. Everybody's heard about it. I'd expect just about everybody in this room have heard about it. Saved and lost, young and old, have heard of Goliath and David. Let me say, though, there are some little personal issues that David had to conquer or work through before he could become the great Goliath killer or the Goliath slayer. Listen to me. You can't win big battles if you can't win the little ones. Winning the little battles of life prepare you for the big battles. David had to win a series of little battles in his life before he became the champion over Goliath. Let me show you. For instance, David had to conquer the temptation of personal arrogance to earn the right to conquer a Goliath. Listen to this verse. 1 Samuel 17, verse 17 and 18, it says, And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Let me explain. David here is asked by his dad to be a humble delivery boy. Now, David was not a position seeker in any way, shape, or form. He just wanted to serve. And David knows there's a battle going on, and Dad said, Son, come talk to me. I want to talk to you about the battle. I imagine a part of David's heart said, He's going to give me a sword. He's going to let me go down and fight. And his dad said, You come over here. He said, There's some leftover pizza in the fridge. I want you to take it down to your brothers. And David said, Yes, sir. If you need me to serve the meal, I'll serve the meal. I don't think David was humiliated that he needed to do something that was a bit humbling. I happen to know the rest of the story. None of his brothers killed a Goliath. So very obviously, David was able to suppress an arrogance so he could just be used. David's pride was suppressed while he carried the cheese instead of carrying a sword. David didn't feel like being a delivery boy of a few sandwiches to help God's army was belittling, because David believed anything you do for God is big. Let me tell you something, folks. You will not beat the Goliaths in your life if you can't win the battle with your own pride and arrogance. David is the Goliath slayer. And being willing to deliver some bread and cheese humbly and with a good attitude had something to do with it. Not only that, David had to conquer some of his own personal character flaws so that he then could earn the right to conquer a Goliath. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 20. The Bible says, And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. Notice, the Bible says David got up early. Now, I don't think there's one single word in the Bible that's there by mistake. This was, if you will, an older teenage kid. While everybody else was sleeping in after surfing the internet all night, David needed to get up early in the morning and go make something happen. Now, what was that thing? He was delivering bread and cheese, but David knew he had to get up early if he was going to do what his dad needed him to do. Now, I happen to know the rest of the story. Somehow, David, being able to get his carcass up in the morning and do what needed to be done, had something to do with David killing Goliath somewhere along the line. Because God doesn't waste words. God knows what He put in the Bible. He had developed His own personal character. He had His body under subjection. Do you understand that if David had gotten up late on that day, he would have missed his chance to kill Goliath? For some of you, your sleep is your God. And you're sleeping away potential successes. I'm glad David didn't sleep in and waste time on the morning he needed to get up early and become the famous Goliath killer. If you want to do something big for God, you're going to have to get your own personal character under control. There's some of you will not succeed in life until you can learn to be on time, learn to tell the truth, learn to get up in the morning, learn to work hard, learn to do what's hard, stop making excuses for everything, stop comparing yourself to everybody else, and just develop personal character in your life. Hey, and you know what? You have to tell your body what to do. You have to tell your mouth what to say. You have to tell your ears what to hear. You have to tell your hands what to touch. You must tell your mind what to think. You have to tell your eyes what to see. There are people here today who would like to conquer some giants, but you can't conquer yourself. Don't expect God's going to send any giants where you could be a champion of the cause when you can't conquer your alarm. little character equals little victory. You say, I'll whack that giant's head off someday. You can't even control your mouth. You can't control your Facebook postings. How in the world are you going to change the world for God? And so, David was a man that had conquered David, which qualified David to be the Goliath killer. He had conquered the temptation of arrogance. He had conquered the temptation of his own personal character flaws. But David had to conquer the weakness of indifference. Indifference to become the giant slayer. Indifference. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 17:26 says, And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let me explain. David had to make sure that he was not possessed by indifference. You see, nobody was doing anything. But David said, What do you get if you do something? He said, Is there not a cause? You see, while everybody else was watching, David said, I went in the game. While everybody else said, Let's just step back. You could be hurt. Let's step back. It could cost you something. Let's step back. We're outnumbered. David said, Let's step up. And you will never conquer the giant by being a spectator. You conquer the giant by being a participator. There was indifference. He didn't let everybody else's lack of concern keep him from getting in the battle. Others did not care, but he did. He didn't leave this task for somebody else. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will win the loss. Somebody else will run the bus route. Somebody else will clean the building. Somebody else will run the bus route. Somebody else will teach the Sunday school class. Oh, don't worry, it'll all get done. Somebody else will take care of all of that. David said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. See, David was not a spectator. He was a participator. He didn't sit idly by, but he got involved. He didn't say, let somebody else carry the load. He said, I'll carry the load. He cared for what he could. He just did what he could. Let me ask you a question. If everybody in our church was as involved as you, what kind of church would we have? Or would we even have a church? David had to conquer an indifference that had come across, by the way, the army. The indifference was the warriors. You say, I'm a warrior. Yeah, but you can be an indifferent warrior, very obviously. You say, I'm a part of the core, the fighting element of, you know, I want to fight the devil. Well, I guess you can have a desire to be a fighter, but be indifferent and just be watching. But David, see, hey, I know the rest of the story. He conquers Goliath. And I'll promise you, it was because he was not indifferent. It's because he had developed his own personal character. It is because he was not arrogant and he was willing to do whatever needed to be done. But not only that, I believe that David had to conquer the temptation of personal bitterness. Why? Because that bitterness would have stopped him from killing a Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:28, the Bible says this, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, his anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now let me explain. In this verse, and let everybody look right here at me. In this verse, David's older brother is scorning him and rejecting him. David's dad said, take some food down to the battle. And what happens is he gets there and David's oldest brother, you understand what he just said to him? He called him naughty. He said, you're just a flighty kid that came down here to see the battle. Would you be embarrassed if you were standing around with a whole bunch of soldiers and you were the kid brother and your older brother said, this is my stupid brother. He just came down here to see the real men. That's what he said. He said, you're naughty. You're not here for the right reason. He humiliated him. But you know what? David did not let his rejection that he faced by his brother stop him. He didn't whine. He didn't pout. I happen to know what happens. Later on, he takes the head off of a Goliath. Why? He was not so emotionally temperamental that if something didn't go exactly right, he was going to quit, cry, and go home. Now look, if you can't take a little teasing by your big brother, how in the world are you going to ever conquer a Goliath? He didn't go home with his tail between his legs, licking his wounds. He didn't whine because his brother did not praise him. He didn't get bitter and attack his brother. He didn't. He didn't get bitter and attack the leadership of the army. He didn't. He did not let what could have been bitter, potential for bitterness, defeat him. David beat Goliath because David had defeated the bitterness in his own heart. Now, you know something? A person can be bitter and nobody knows about it. There are probably people in this room right now. You're bitter in your heart and you're bitter in your soul. And it's going to keep you. You may smile on the outside, but you're bitter on the inside. And that bitterness is going to, it is going to deplete your spiritual energy. And some of you will never have big victory because you've got a battle that needs to be fought on the inside of you. And you need to make sure you get that bitterness out of your life. David, when his brother mocked him and teased him and humiliated him, David said, okay, say what you want, but I'm going on. His heart had to be right. Why? God was about to do something supernatural with David, and David couldn't afford to have his spirit wrong when he went into that battle with Goliath. Some of you, your bitterness is keeping you away from the real battle God has for you. Some of you will play and you will mess around inside your spirit and have petty bitterness when God wanted to use you to do something big. But you're too busy fighting your own personal little internal battle when God wanted you to do something big. I think David fought the bitterness battle and won. But let me go on. David had to conquer his own personal fears to earn the right to conquer a Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 says this, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Isn't that amazing? The king said to David, you ought to be scared to death of this guy, David. He was saying, David, go home and play. This is big man stuff. Now you understand the Bible basically is telling us David, out of all the people at the battlefield, he was the youngest guy there. He'd never had battle training. He hadn't gone to boot camp. His brothers had. And King Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody in height, he just told him, he said, kid, I mean, take the empty pizza box home. You can't fight this guy. You're a kid. He started training, Goliath started training for battle when he was your age. He's conquered everyone. He was the heavyweight champion of the world at that time. That's who Goliath was. And David decided he would not let fear paralyze him. And let me say to everybody in here, fear paralyzes. It paralyzes. The reason why some of you never witness is because you have so much fear, it paralyzes you. But he didn't let fear paralyze him. He didn't let the fear of defeat stop him. He didn't let the fear of embarrassment stop him. Hey, David could have said, you know what? That guy just told me, you understand, Goliath had just said, I'm going to turn you into bird food. Now, birds don't eat you whole. You throw bird feed out in little pieces. So what was Goliath saying? I am going to dice you into shreds, boy, and I'm throwing you to the vultures. Now, when a 9-foot-9-inch tall goon with iron underwear comes at you telling you he's about to turn you into bird feed and you're the youngest untrained kid on the block, there is the potential of a touch of fear. But hey, and I know the story. He takes the big boy down. But he had to overcome his own personal fear. Fear fakes you out. Wonder how many times you feared something that never came upon you and it just paralyzed you. And while you're running from something that doesn't even exist, the devil says, I love this. I love doing this to people. He didn't let that fear stop him. He did not let the fear of defeat stop him. He did not let the fear of embarrassment stop him. He did not let the fear of failure stop him. He did not let the defeat or the fear of humiliation stop him. He did not let the fear of something new stop him. You know, David has never fought a Philistine. Now, he fought a lion. He fought a bear. But he never fought a Philistine. This was all new to him. Just because it's new, if it's right to do, it's good to do. And David didn't say, well, I've never done that before. David said it needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. And if God will let me, I'll do it. He stepped up. He didn't let the fear of death stop him. Had fear stopped him, he would have never became the historical giant killer that he is. Fear has robbed many people of wonderful, wonderful victories. You see, we tell the story of David, the Goliath killer. I think the best way to describe it is David, the David conqueror who conquered a Goliath. Because David had to get David under control before David could ever control a Goliath. He did not let arrogance stop him. He did not let his character stop him. He did not let indifference stop him. He did not let potential bitterness stop him. He did not let fear stop him. I would tell you this also. He did not let the effect of personal ridicule stop him. 1 Samuel 17, verse 43 and 44 says, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou camest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Goliath verbally attacked David, but David didn't run. You know, the people who don't love God may try to scare you out of doing what you should do. But, you know, we ought to do what's right. If it's right, it's right. Do people's words intimidate you from serving God? Hey, look, if you love God, be willing to be ridiculed. Amen. I hate to tell you, if you're going to live right, somebody's going to mock you. If you're going to do right, somebody's going to belittle you. Did you know Christians are supposed to be different? You do realize we're not supposed to be like this lost world. We're going to be different. You say, but people would mock me. They would tease me. Hey, grow up. Put your big boy pants on. Amen. Stop being afraid to be a Christian. Oh my, what Jesus went through on our behalf. He was ridiculed. He was stripped. He was mocked. And he was teased. And he was abused. But he did it for you. Hey, folks, if you separate from the world, they'll tell you you're crazy. Just so you know, we're the normal ones. We're the normal ones. You know, not just the world will mock you. Let me guarantee you, weak, untrained Christians will mock Christians that are very serious about their Christian life. But you understand, David had to conquer the effects of that ridicule that came upon him. Remember, he's the youngest guy there. All he was doing is what his dad told him to do. His dad said, son, take the food down there to your brothers. He gets there, and Goliath is mocking and making a mockery of God and God's people. And David said, is there not a cause? And everybody says, you be quiet, boy. You be quiet. And David said, look, somebody needs to do something about this. And once Goliath catches wind of it, Goliath starts hammering him. You say, well, that's not right that Goliath talked to him that way. Goliath listened to David's older brother do the very same thing. Even the king told him, take your toys and go home. Thank God, David had conquered David so that David could conquer Goliath. You say, I want to have victory in life. Let me tell you where to start. Start at your house. You say, with my wife? With my husband? Oh, no. Go home, look in the mirror. And you say, by God's grace, sir, we're going to get some things under control. You're saved, you're born again. You have a nature within you that will conquer that old you. Some of you need to let your new nature say to your old nature, you are not going to control me. You're not going to hold me back. You're not going to drag me through this life anymore. I am going to live for God. Some of you need to say to yourself, there are going to be some changes around this household. You say, I'm going to go home and say that to my kids today. One of the best ways in the world to convince your kids there's some changes that need to take place is they need to watch mom and dad make those changes in their own life. Children don't always do what you say, but they frequently do what you do. Huh. Now, then what? After David paid the price of defeating David, he then went down in history as the giant slayer. 1 Samuel 17:50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. I love that. Why did God throw in there no sword? I think God said, this kid got it under control. I'll help him to do things that are outrageous because he's got himself under control. And he did. Folks, listen. You don't get to fight the world champion without a few bouts with the smaller contenders. And the small contenders are usually our own personal weaknesses. I want to tell you, humanly speaking, I want to tell you the name of my biggest enemy. I want to tell you about who has hurt me most in life. I'd like to tell you all the name of the person that's held me back the most in life. I think you need to hear the name. His name is Jeff Owens. And for you visitors, that's me. He stopped blaming your mother. Stop blaming your father. Stop blaming your wife. Stop blaming your husband. Blame yourself. Get yourself up in the morning. Look at yourself right in the eyeball and say, buddy, we're going to knock it off and live right. And you have just as much potential to live right as anybody else does. And if you're not going to do it, don't you blame everybody else. We live in a weak-kneed society and everybody wants to blame somebody for their failures. You listen to me. Somebody say, well, it was such a rough childhood. And listen, you might not know me, but I love you and I'm your friend, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of you haven't lived with your parents for 20 years. You've lived away from home longer than you lived at home. Still got to be somebody's fault. You know what I was really sad about? You know the song that Charlotta sang earlier? It was so sweet. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to blow that thing away in just a minute. Such a sweet song. And I'm going to get up there and I'm going to act like an animal for, 30 minutes. I felt so bad. I want to change my sermon to everybody, let's love each other and... I love you, you love me. We'll have Barney come in, big purple suit. Let's do that. But let me tell you something. I wish you would believe this. This sermon, I love you. You can succeed. God wants somebody to conquer a Goliath.
But he can't use you to conquer a Goliath because you can't conquer you.
Hey, it's victory in the little areas that bring victory in the big ones. You say, Preacher, I want to build a big bus route someday. Then do all the little things for your route right. You say, I want to have a big Sunday school class someday. Then you're going to need to do the little things right. Say, I want to preach some big conferences out there somewhere someday. Let me tell you something. You better preach every little opportunity you have as a big opportunity, and God may give you the big one someday. Say, I want to have a great family. Then you're going to have to give attention to the little details. Say, I want to have an impact on Christ financially. Then, do you know something? There are people that say, boy, if God would give me $1 million, what I'd do for God. Oh, fooey on that. You won't tithe on the $10 he gave you. Why in the world would God trust you with $1 million when you won't tithe on the little bit he gave you? The proving ground for big things is what you do with the little things. I call the sermon, David had to first conquer David. And once he got that out of the road, God said, sky's the limit. David said, I don't have a sword. God said, you don't need a sword. David said, I don't have a machine gun. God said, you don't need a machine gun. David said, oh, there is a bunch of rocks around here. God said, that'll do. He picked up 5 stones. You know how many of them he needed? 1. First time. You say, what were the other 4 stones for? David had a lack of faith? No, Goliath had 4 brothers. Amen. He did. David said, well, if they're dumb enough to come after me, I'll take them out 1 at a time. I invite you to be a Goliath slayer as soon as you can learn to pick up your clothes off the floor and develop some personal character so God could trust you with a supernatural stone.